It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Phillies Backstage. Tom Burgoyne and John Brazier. And John, it's a little melancholy being up here because, you know, the last time we did a podcast was after game four of the NLDS. We had just beaten the Braves. Yep. By the way, I'd gotten a lot of comments. People were saying, oh, my gosh, I listened to your podcast. That was great. You guys were so fired up.
Well, we're fired up because we just literally we had 20 minutes after the game.
Exactly.
Watching everybody celebrate on the field.
Celebrate on the field.
Not be fired
and
up?
They were celebrating on the field, and that's what we were looking at from up here in the radio booth, John. And now we're looking out. You can tell that the ground crew has spread the lime on the field. They're getting it ready for the off season, and it's pretty depressing.
Yes, it is. But you know what's going to help our depression, Tom?
I know. We got the greatest dude in the world.
Well, first of all, during the whole playoff run, we would announce everybody from the trainers to the clubhouse guys to this and that, and the loudest ovation.
Oh, wait, loudest ovation. That's easy. That's Bryce Harper, right, John?
Well, the loudest ovation besides a player.
Oh, no. Rob Thompson, of course. He was not a player.
Right, because he's not a player either. But besides Rob Thompson, who was the loudest ovation?
No, I'm saying I think this guy got a bigger ovation than Rob Thompson.
Well, I know my wife was in the living room and in the stands because she's a big fan of our next guest. Why don't you introduce who it is?
Phillies interpreter Diego Atedgi. And Diego, it's funny because John and I were like, wait, how's he pronounce his last name again? It's just Diego, isn't it? He's like, Cher or, Pink. It's just one name, Diego.
And Diego, I'm the engineer, so I was setting up our roadcaster and everything, and Dan Baker happened to walk past. I said, Dan, I need you. Diego, I know him very well. I know how to spell his last name, but how do you pronounce his last name? He's like, he's professional announcer.
John, it's
Atedgi.
And he should know, Diego, right? Because how does it feel to get such an ovation, before those playoff games?
Well, I thought you were talking about the Fanatic when you were talking about this ovation.
That's true. The Fanatic gets a big ovation.
First of all, thank you for having me here. It's a pleasure, really. John, Tom, it's awesome to be here with you. I've heard so many good things about the podcast, so it's an honor to be here with you.
Awesome.
The best person you could have asked how to pronounce my last name, I mean, not even me. Dan Baker says it right. Dan would know it, yeah. He does such an incredible job.
Your parents would approve of Dan Baker's
100%
pronunciation.
And I tell you, I come from a country where maybe 95% of the people could not pronounce my last name right. Because it's weird. It's a weird last name. Too many letters. But, hey, I had a great time with those ovations. I tell you my secret, though. I bought tickets for 15,000 fans. and that did the job. All I asked for was, hey, just please clap for me when my name is announced by Dan Baker. And they did it. They came through.
Well, I got a question for you because I always think, and this is just the way my twisted mind works, right? If I'm Phil Sheridan, who's our clubhouse guy, or if I'm yourself or
Danny O'Rourke,
right? My biggest fear would be because you're running out there in front of everybody that, don't trip. Don't trip on the steps. Don't trip somehow on the turf because that would be the worst moment ever, right? Because you're on TV. Next thing you know, that video would be going viral everywhere.
But meanwhile, Diego's got it down. He comes out now. It's the tipping of the hat to the fans,
right.
He's
a pro.
Hey, that's the least I can do for them. If they are nice enough to clap for me.
Yes.
You know, who, you know, again, just as support staff, I'm here for the players. I have to give it up to them.
But why do you think you're getting that kind of ovation? What's your theory?
I already told you. I buy 15,000 tickets to the fan. I'm like $150,000 in the hole. I'm really hoping for a big playoff share.
All right, Diego, let's go into your story. There was actually a good story on Crossing Broad written about you, but for those that did not read it or people that don't know your story, let's start from the beginning. You were born in Venezuela, right? And I'm assuming you played some baseball a little bit?
Yes, yeah. So I was born and raised in Venezuela. I was there until the age of 18. Played baseball, played soccer, and, all elementary and middle high school.
And your English is pretty good, right?
My English was almost non-existent.
Non-existent.
I thought I spoke some English, but okay. Then, you know, when I enrolled in an English course in Boston, I started telling my teacher that I go to a mall yesterday, and she goes like, oh, you went to a mall yesterday? And I keep going back and forth, you know, go to a mall. She's like, went. And I'm like, what is this woman doing? You know, like, why am I not understanding her? She's not understanding me. And one of my classmates came over and said, hey, listen, you idiot. She's trying to correct you. It's the past tense of go is went. So you went to a mall yesterday, and that's when I knew I was in trouble.
So your knowledge of English was. Did you take actually English courses when you were in high school or grade school?
Yeah, there were some English classes in high school, you know, but very basic, you know, maybe like 1 or 2 hours a week in school. But, you know, it's, you know how, you know, we all are in school, you know, like you don't really pay attention much. At least I wasn't a great student.
Do they have any English television programs in Venezuela?
Yes.
So did you learn that way, possibly?
I think so, yeah. I became a big fan of Seinfeld.
Okay.
Back home. I started watching Seinfeld when I was like 13 or 14 years old. So it would be in English with Spanish subtitles.
Yeah.
So that was a good, you know, good way to start. I think Will and Grace was another show that was on TV.
Yeah,
back
that's how
then.
You learn.
Yeah. It was awesome.
Then
really.
How did you make the decision to go get educated in college in the United States?
So that wasn't even the plan. My plan was to come to the States to learn English for 6 months. That's it. I didn't even know where to go. My mom was the one that decided that Boston would be a place for me because I really had no idea.
How did she pick Boston?
Well, because she, when she came, I think like 30 years before I did, she came here to do the same thing. She went to Boulder, Colorado. She liked it, but she didn't love it. Some of her friends went to Boston and they absolutely loved it. So she was like, hey, you know, I've heard pretty good things about Boston. I've never been there myself, but I think it would be a good place for you to go. I just knew that I couldn't go to like Miami, you know, because I didn't want to learn Cuban or, you know, like, I mean, you know, like I wanted to go to a place where, you know, like not many people spoke Spanish.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know, just to force myself to learn the language. But then like, you know, during the English course, my grandfather got kidnapped for a day and my dad was the one that had to deal with, you know, all of that. And obviously it was very traumatic when my grandfather was finally released at the end of that day, because it was called express kidnapping at the time. Mm. They were kidnapping people every day. Like that was a thing in Venezuela. Like it was like 3 kidnappings a day in the capital. Mm. I don't even know what the data was, you know, like outside of the capital. But so yeah, so we, you know, unfortunately we were one of those families that had to deal with that. Fortunately, my grandfather was released and, you know, he was okay. But my dad had to go through all that. And when he called me at night after telling me that my grandfather was okay, his very next comment was, please, please try to find a way to stay stay in the United States. You know, just do your education there. I'll try my best to, you know, help you out, you know, financially and all that. Because I really think there's no future in Venezuela, unfortunately.
So you enrolled in BU, right?
And did you? No, I enrolled at Bunker Hill Community College first.
Okay.
Yeah, because I did some soccer tryouts there. The soccer coach, who is an awesome guy, Scott Benjamin, he was able to get me a really good deal, like to pay in-state tuition instead of, you know, out-of-state tuition, which was a big help because it's like 3 times the price if as a out-of-state student. And then I transferred to Northeastern.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then you played soccer there.
I played soccer and baseball at Bunker Hill. Northeastern, I just focused on school because I needed to make sure I had good grades and. Because I knew I wasn't going to be an athlete. My dream was to be an athlete, most people.
At this point, you got into healthcare, studying healthcare in Northeastern?
Bunker Hill, I did international business. Yep. And then that was during the 08 economic crisis. And one of my academic advisors suggested for me to do something in the healthcare field because, it doesn't matter how things are in the world. People are always going to get sick. Mm. People are always going to try to have a family. And so the healthcare industry is always going to be busy. Yeah. And so I honestly didn't really know what to do. And I was like, that's a good advice. I talked it over with my parents. They agreed. And so I made the switch. And then I ended up doing stuff in communications and stuff, nothing related to my major.
Yeah, which you got, but you got some great experience early on, right? You had your own radio program. You had some journalism. You're actually writing on the Celtics and the Red Sox, right? And,
correct.
It seems like you really got some great experience.
Yeah, so that's one of the things that that I started doing right after college. I didn't want to lose my English. I wanted to keep practicing, especially my writing, because I knew I was going to speak with people all the time. I can talk to a wall. You know me. So, but I wanted to keep practicing my writing in English, and I started writing a blog about sports. And then when I enrolled in this communications course, there was an opportunity to start writing for the Celtics, the New England Revolution, the Red Sox. And so I showed up to a newspaper to talk to the general manager of the newspaper with all my, with like all my writings. So
yeah,
my
like your portfolio.
All the portfolio, with mm-hmm. all my writing samples or whatever. And he looked at them and he said, "Can you write like this in Spanish?" And I just looked at him and said, "Well, I hope I can write better."
Right.
I can write better in Spanish because I lived 18 years in Venezuela, so he was like, "Oh, so I'll give you a shot. Go to Fenway Park, write me a story about the Latino pitchers of the Red Sox and the impact that they're making on the club." And he actually, I think he gave me half a page or like three quarters of a page on the newspaper. It was awesome. And obviously, it was the first day. I was like, just looking at big copy and all these guys, like, "Oh my god!" Like, these guys are like aliens, but then I was shaking, like holding my phone while recording and all but it was an unbelievable experience. It opened doors for me, then I started doing a radio show, the same recordings that I would use for my articles on the newspaper, I would use on the radio show. Yeah. And that led, to local TV show. And all that gave me the exposure and the knowledge, the experience that the Phillies were looking for when the interpreter position came along.
Right. So just for those that don't know, I think it was Carlos Beltran went to Major League Baseball and said, "I think every team needs a Spanish translator. We have translators for the Japanese players, for the South Korean players." In fact, the Phillies had a player, the first baseman, Lee, who had his own translator. Right. And then that opened the door perfectly for you to be our Phillies translator.
Yeah.
And then that took another turn because then I know, I think the translator for Lee was Kim, who is in uniform in the dugout. So then I guess talk about Gabe Kapler came to you with an opportunity.
Yeah. So obviously, when I was in 17 when we acquired Lee, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kim. Yep. Yeah. Kim. And, I would look at the interpreter, and I'm not going to lie to you, I was a little jealous, because he was in uniform, he was doing stuff on the field, and I knew I was capable of doing those things. I just didn't have the approval.
Right.
Yeah, but I was kind of still new. It was my second year on the job. I was just grateful, for being there. But then in 18, when Gabe Kapler was hired as manager, in spring training, I started like every other spring training, khakis and polo, whatever. And then, but Kapler noticed how comfortable the Latino guys were with me, how much they looked for me, to help them out with different things. And so one day he asked me, like, he called me to his office and said, what are your responsibilities when you're not down, you know, down on the field, like, you know, like with the media and stuff? And I said, well, I do a daily clips, and I just warm up a chair.
Right, in PR.
Yeah,
right.
during the game.
Yeah.
And he said, well, I'm going to talk to some people because I think it would be very beneficial to me and the Latino guys, like to the club in general, to have you down here in the clubhouse more often.
Yeah, what a great call, too, by the way, because really, you think about all the communication on the field, and we'll talk a little bit about what you do off the field, too, Diego, but isn't it unbelievable that it took that long for somebody to have that idea? Because I can only imagine just, you know, of course, the out at the mound, you know, the conferences at the mound, or I know some of the new rules, you know, and trying to interpret some of those for Latino players. But are you amazed sometimes that it took that long?
Yes, but you know what? I don't blame the different clubs, you know, for that. I honestly think it's the league's fault because is no specific, you know, like piece of paper that says the interpreter should do this, that, right. and that. A, B, C, D, you know, like it's just.
And I think they're relying on players, like someone like Freddie Galvez, who speaks great English and from Venezuela, right? Can translate with, if you're an infielder for the most part, or maybe right. off the, you know, in the dugout or in the locker room. But at the same time, you're not always going to have a Freddie Galvez.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah, there are teams, there like this year, the only infielder that we had for most of the year was Edmundo Sosa. And his English is shaky, you know, right. like, so it's not like, it's not as good as Freddie Galvez, you know, who was amazing at English. But, so again, when you're running to a situation like that, when you don't have anyone on the infield that can help you out, then you should have someone that someone available that can help you out. I am amazed that it took so long, but not only for me, even to this day, there are teams that don't do it. And again, sometimes, but it's, to me, it's because MLB didn't make it clear. You know, like all they said was, we need an interpreter during the clubhouse hours, you know, pre and post game, just for the media. You know, but again, what about coaches? You know, when coaches right, yeah. need to talk to the players, even players' teammates,
right?
You know, meetings. You know, the position player meetings or pitchers' meetings.
Yeah. But also, like, again, you're from Venezuela. You've got guys from Dominican Republic. You've got guys from Nicaragua. You got guys from, you know, all over, yeah. right? Chuch was from Panama. But, you know, you also have different, like, Spanish is different. Even within Nicaragua or within Dominican Republic, there's different dialects and, right?
Yeah, when it's, I wouldn't, I mean, maybe you can call it dialects, but it's pretty much the same Spanish. It's just, like, different slangs.
Slang, right.
But obviously different accents, but it's like someone from the United States and someone from England, or maybe someone from the south of this country and someone from New England. You know, like
the
it's
same
different.
Thing. It's just yeah. the way they say it.
They may have different slangs or, you know, different accents, but it's the same language.
Another great use of you, Diego, too, is I was reading too, like even in the batting cage with Kevin Long, right? For Kevin Long, a coach to kind of explain maybe some of his theories or what a player should or shouldn't do, and working with a player. Do you find yourself in those situations more and more now?
Yeah. Yeah. And that started happening last year, because before, our assistant hitting coach was Pedro Guerrero, who is from the Dominican Republic. So I wasn't needed in the cage as much.
I see.
You know, like even this year in the, right before the playoffs and even in the playoffs, Andy Abad, who is Cuban American, came over to help. So I wasn't needed in the cage as often as I was in the, you know, like, I don't know, maybe like first 2 or 3 months of a year. But yes, like that's something that Christian Pache found very useful, because he was like, with the Braves, I didn't have that. With the A's, I didn't have that. And I was shocked. Like, really, you never had anyone to help you in your own language. And I know, I don't know the athletics interpreter, but I know the Braves interpreter. He's a great guy, great attitude, but he's not a uniform. He's not allowed in the clubhouse, you know, for too long. Mm. So yeah, he's got to go upstairs, and then he's left alone. The player's left alone, and you know, it's like, okay, well, I gotta try to understand this guy with my broken English, or you know, the coach is going to try to do his best with his broken Spanish, but sometimes the little things don't
well,
come
you use a good word, comfortable, and you want these guys to be comfortable, right? They're coming from a foreign country. I mean, I can't even imagine Tom. I mean, you know, I lived over in England for a year, and I played lacrosse over there and coached lacrosse over there, but they're speaking the same language. I couldn't imagine coming over here and coaching or playing with somebody that the language that wasn't your native tongue.
Yeah.
It's just, now, one of the way people see you, get to know you, is obviously after the game when they're interviewing, let's say, back in the day, Hector Neris, or it could be Sir Anthony Dominguez, you're out there interpreting. So when you're interpreting, I've asked you this off the air too. Like, when you're interpreting, let's say you don't, either they don't understand the question, or maybe you don't like their answer. But there's also people that
do
are
lie.
There's
do
also,
lie,
there's also a lot of people watching the broadcast that know Spanish.
Exactly.
So you got to be a little careful.
You got to be careful with that. You
know, have there been situations where you kind of cleaned up the answer a little bit?
Yes, for sure. I think that my job, you know, as an interpreter, I guess even like PR assistant, is to make sure the guys sound good.
Right.
They look good. I always keep the essence of the message, but there are a couple of times that, you know, I put makeup on the answers.
Right.
You know, just because I know where they're what they're trying to say.
You know them, right?
Yes, I know them. I know where they come from. You know, sometimes they get very nervous in front of the camera, even though I'm there translating for them, and I joke with them about it, because it's like, when 50,000 people are watching you, you know, like, try to hit the ball, you're fine. But then they put a camera on you, and you're terrified.
Yeah, sure.
But it would be the same thing for me. Like, if in front of the camera, I feel fine, but if they told me to take an at bat, I would be shaking.
Well, hold on. Let's get to that. Because I know oftentimes when JT, from what I understand, when JT gets a day off, he gets a day off. He's not going to go out there and warm up the pitcher when, you know, if Garrett Stubbs is a little late getting dressed, right? Yes. So a couple times you've been put out there to catch, because you're in uniform, in the middle of it, like during a game in between innings, for someone like Zach Wheeler.
Yeah.
So what was that like? Is someone, what was your biggest baseball, little league? Was that your, what grade did you stop playing competitive baseball?
No, college.
I played college.
I played in college, right, but I played center field in college. That was
not catcher.
Yeah, I wasn't catching.
And you weren't catching someone who's throwing a 96 mile per hour cutter.
Yes. But I tell you this, I always talk to the guys beforehand and I tell them, hey, remember that Stubbs is catching today. Remember that JT is not going to be warming you up. So you got to take it easy on me. You know, it's not a professional doing it. I'm not trying to die today.
Right.
You know, so.
So who was the first pitcher that you caught in the during a game, in between innings?
I think it was Ranger Suarez.
And you put equipment on too when you do that, or just between innings?
Just I put a cup on.
Okay.
And the mask.
Yeah. Right.
But now that it has evolved a little, sometimes it's like, oh, Soto's coming in. I'm like, oh my God. And I know he's getting, when they get hot in the bullpen,
yeah.
They come out throwing fire. It's,
right.
It's different when it's a starting pitcher, because he's already warmed up.
Right.
Yeah. So he's just trying to get loose.
Right.
Until, you know, the catcher, you know, is ready. But when it's a bullpen guy, They go hard.
And Soto's got bullets. Movement, right?
Yes. So. So there was a time. This is a funny story. We were at Citi Field, eighth or ninth inning, whatever. And so I see that Soto's coming in. I run to the cage to get JT. I'm like, JT, like, I'm not like,
help.
Because that day I think it was Taiwan Walker that pitched. I was like, I was fine with Taiwan. You know, again, starting pitcher, just getting loose, whatever. Like, I've caught him before, but I've never caught Soto, not even like flat grounds, nothing. And I know he throws fire.
Right.
So like, he's like, no, Diego, you got it. I'm like, no, like, I don't have it. Like, this is, I'm begging you because I know I don't have it. Yeah. Like, Diego, you're fine. If anything, just put my equipment on. You'll be fine. I go look for his equipment.
Right.
Everything is already on the truck. It was a getaway day. We were leaving. Like, we're trying to beat traffic. Everything is is gone. I didn't even have a cup on. So I took some towels. Some towels to protect that area. And I'm like, this is insane. Like, I don't know why I'm doing this. Very first pitch, it went over my head. I think I didn't even see the ball. It went over my head and sort of just looked at me like...
Like his fault or like your fault?
Yeah, he's like, what happened? And I said, I just went like I didn't see it. And he did one more. I caught that one. And to me, I was like, okay, that was graduation day. Right. But right after that, Stubbs came in. I was like, oh my God, finally.
Goodness.
It was a little.
Did your hand hurt after that too?
Oh yeah, it always hurts. But it's a good hurt, you know, because it's like. I had success. It's like I did well. I caught it, you know. So it's like okay, it's good, you know. And I'd rather my hand to hurt than you know my face because I got hit or something, you know.
All right. One of the, I think our fans don't really get a great opportunity just because of the part of the language barrier to know some of our players, right? Latino players. So why don't you give us a little like give the listeners a little like Sir Anthony. What is Sir Anthony like as a person, as a human being? And I know you're friends with a lot of these guys.
Yeah, it's honestly, they are a pleasure to work with. They are a really good group of guys. I've been very lucky to have, you know, very good guys all these years. Sir Anthony is very smart, super smart. He's a great dominoes player, great chess player, super competitive. He's into real estate. You know, he likes that stuff. He's always looking for, you know, ways to invest his money well. Ranger is just a freak athlete.
You know, like he looks like he's basically at the beach when a line drive comes at him. He's like,
and he's like that in every sport. Like if today you told him to play basketball with you, he probably beat us all.
Right.
And he hasn't played in 5 years.
Right.
Soccer, same thing. Like he's just naturally gifted like that.
So his personality is what you see on the field.
Yes, no doubt about it.
How about Alvarado? I know you have a tight relationship with Alvarado.
Yeah, super nice guy too. I always tell him that he's like a teddy bear, you know, because he's got that big presence, you know, the beard and all that. But like inside, he's very mellow. You know, very nice guy. He cares about his family a lot. He loves his teammates. You know, like he was doing those necklaces for
friendship bracelets.
Yeah, like those. You know, I think he did it for the ball girls, for the command center, or at least some security guards, the coaches, his teammates, the people in the staff in the kitchen, the trainers. Like, but like he likes to include everyone. You know, like super nice and very patriotic. Hmm. He loves showing off. You know, like how much he loves Venezuela and all that. Sosa is a very funny guy. You know, very family oriented. You know, he loves spending time with his daughter. Who else?
Soto
is. You would have so much fun with Soto because he's. Soto is like my mom. He's got no filter. Whatever he's thinking, he's going to say it. You know, like, and he doesn't mean to offend anyone. Sometimes, you know, he may come across, you know, but he's just being him. You know, he's just like, he's not trying to have any filter.
Well, Diego, we talked about, the things you do here at the ballpark, but, you know, there are ways that you help these guys with everything. It could be the purchase of house or a jet ski or you know, anything, a doctor, or talk a little bit about some of the things that you do off the field to help these guys.
Okay, yeah, so again, because MLB didn't really specify what the interpreter was supposed to do, honestly, I have to give a lot of credit to the Phillies for letting me mold this role, based on my abilities or whatnot. But obviously, I saw the need that the guys had off the field with different things, you know, because, it's no secret that, you know, like some of them didn't have the education that we did. You know, like we were fortunate to, you know, go to college and, you know, be educated that way. They're lacking some of these things sometimes. And obviously you don't want people to take advantage of that. So there are times that, you know, I go to to car dealerships with them to buy a car, make sure they're getting a good deal, and that, you know, they're sometimes it's low because they're ball players. They don't get discounts, or they actually try to, like, you know, like inflate prices, you know. So I went to a car dealership with Alvarado this year to purchase a car. I went house hunting with Dominguez to buy a house in Philly.
And this is not really just to translate. It's more just as a help him just in life.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Correct. And that's it. That's
and honestly, they see you as a good friend, which is a great sign that they're looking to you for help in those matters.
Correct. And that's why, like, to me, it's been a great experience to work with them off the field, because one thing that you want to show to these guys day in and day out is that you're here for them, no matter what, you know, like, all the time. You know, it's like 24/7, whatever you need. If I can do it, I will do it. And that's a way for anyone to gain trust. And ultimately, that's what you want from the players. You know, like, you want them to trust you. You want them to know that you're there for them. That you want, you know, that it's, you're always looking out for the best outcome possible that they can have. So that's why, you know, like, again, doctor's appointments, dental appointments, car dealerships, sometimes like rental agreements, you know, so you make sure, like, okay, well, you got to pay 1 month of security deposit. How does that work? You get it at the end, you know, sometimes because they don't really understand, you know, the fine print or whatever, they don't get the money, but, you know, the security deposit money back. You know, little things like that people would never.
Have you been asked to be in someone's wedding yet? Or go to their wedding?
No, but Alvarado bought me a suit this year, and he said, I hope this is a suit that you wear whenever you get married. I was like, okay. that's a good gift.
Nobody's named their kid Diego or anything?
No, but probably a dog.
Have you been down to the facility in the Dominican? And what do you think of that? And do you get to meet the guys there? So then maybe, you know, if they make their way through the system, you have some kind of relationship?
Yes, I went down to the academy in the Dominican Republic in 2019. And I actually met Armenta is the last name. And at the time, so Victor Arano, the Mexican pitcher, was with us at the time. And Armenta was probably, 16, out of Mexico, you know, just, I think he had just arrived in the academy. I had to do some, like, presentations for the players' families and stuff. It was a family day, I think, down there. And I kid you not, there was no one asking more questions that day than Armenta. Mm. And left-handed pitcher for us, still in the system. I don't know if he's in AA now, but he was in spring training this year. And I was so proud of him. And it took me back to, you know, to when I met him in the DR, and how crazy, you know, like, the world is that, you know, like, 4 years later, this kid, like, I'm still here. The kid's still here. He's making progress. And even when I talked to him that day after he asked so many questions, something told me, it's like, this guy, like, I'm going to meet him again. Like, he's going to go places. Yeah. Because it wasn't just questions like, how are you? It was, like, very, like, thoughtful questions. And at the end, I talked to him a little more, and he said, you know, like, sorry for asking so many questions. I'm just, you know, like, I just really want to make it to the big leagues. And and one of my role models is Victor Arano, because he's Mexican like me. And, you know, we were from, I don't know if they're from the same town or, like, nearby, but he took, you know, he had a lot of pride in that. I thought it was wonderful. And honestly, I tip my hat to Ray Robles and the amazing work he does at the academy. And not only Ray, all his staff, like everyone that, like, everyone is so invested in the well-being of all these kids.
Well, and they try to teach some of those life skills at that level too, don't they, Diego? Some of those things you were talking about.
Yes, for no doubt. That's something that we've talked internally. You know, how to make it better for them, because the reality is, I mean, we hate to say it or face it, but the reality is that not everyone's going to make it to the big leagues. You know, it's, but it would be great if we can teach, you know, if we can teach them about life too.
Yeah.
And just this life skills that maybe they're lacking now, but in a couple of years, they can be fine with, you know, because it's a little things that, okay, well, you didn't make it as a professional baseball player. I'm sorry, as a big leaguer, you know, you didn't make it to a big leagues, but you got, you have the skills that you need to survive in the real world.
Have you ever, has an American player ever come to you to help on the other, going the other way, learning Spanish?
Yes, there, there have been players and coaches too. Like that, you know, they want to learn the language. They usually ask me, "What's a good app, you know, to use to start learning Spanish, or if I would teach them Spanish?" Actually, like people here in the front office have asked me if I would be willing to teach Spanish, and my answer is always no, because the second you guys know, I'll be out of a job.
Right. Well, Ruben Amaro's mom, he's
a teacher. Yeah, Ruben's mom.
I took a bunch of couple years.
Yeah.
With her, with as you know, I have a Cuban background, but my mom never spoke any Spanish, so we didn't speak any Spanish in the house, and I took French in high school. I don't know why.
Oh, really?
All right, before we let you go, Diego, what is the greatest, well, I got two final questions. The greatest home run call you've ever heard?
I knew who was going to ask me this.
Oh,
it's obviously yours. My favorite,
that's awful.
I don't know if my favorite one is the put the baby in the diaper, or
put the baby to bed without a diaper.
Yeah, or the cookie jar.
Yeah, grandma, hide the cookie jar. Diego's the biggest fan of mine.
I was going to say, you're hanging around with him way too much.
All right, and then the last question is, before we get to a quiz, you have a quiz, by the way,
okay,
to win this T-shirt. We have a Backstage with Burgoyne and Brazier T-shirt, thanks to our buddy Scott Soffin, right, from B3 Worldwide. You're
awesome.
Going to get one of these T-shirts. But other than catching during a game with 45,000, 50,000 people watching, what is the coolest thing you get to do as an employee of the Phillies? Other than, again, catching Soto or Wheeler, that's unbelievable. Like, that's an experience that nobody will ever get. But is there one other type thing like that that is just stands out? Do you say, wow, I got to do that?
I would have to say when I get to meet or work with great legends like Larry Boa, John Kruk, it's unbelievable. You know, those are guys that my grandparents loved watching play, and you know, now I send them pictures with them, and you know, they get so happy for me and so proud, and you know, it's they're living this through me, you know, and it's unbelievable.
And did you have a favorite player in Venezuela growing up? Venezuelan.
Yeah, Omar Vizquel.
Vizquel, okay. Yeah. Are you ready for your quiz? It's an 8-question quiz.
8 questions.
It's multiple choice. The first 4 questions are about Venezuela.
Okay.
The last 4 questions are about players, Latino players, and where they're from.
Okay.
All right. Although one was not a player, the last one is a musician.
So you said he's playing for the shirt. So if he doesn't get 6 of 8, he's not getting that beautiful shirt.
No.
He's got to earn the shirt.
Got to earn it. I'm getting low on shirts, Scott. If you're listening, I need more shirts. All right. Are you ready?
I am.
Diego.
Thanks for the visit. Let's get down to business. Now here's your chance to show how much you really know. He might get grumpy if he can't stop you with Brazier's Quiz.
All right, the world's largest rodent can be found in Venezuela. What is the name of this rodent? Is it A, the Cape porcupine? Is it B, the giant pacarena? Is it C, the capybara? Or is it D, the coipu? Is it the giant, the Cape porcupine, the giant pacarena, capybara, or the coipu?
The giant pacarena.
Is that what you're going with?
Yeah. That's my guess, my wild guess. Yeah.
Well, maybe I'm saying it wrong. It's capybara. C-A-P.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah.
That's the biggest
capybara.
One.
And by the way, Diego, I already said, this is a ridiculous quiz. It's like, Diego's not going to get this stuff.
It's totally ridiculous. All right.
Maybe.
I'm going to give you some help here. Venezuela has the world's tallest waterfall at 3,212 feet.
Angels Falls.
Angels Falls.
Yeah, there it is.
Right.
I thought you'd get that one.
You know what?
That's beautiful.
Because you got that without the multiple choice, you get the first one too.
Oh, look at that.
If you haven't been to Angels Falls, you realize it's a magical place.
Yeah.
It's a magical
place. It's the largest waterfall?
Yeah. Yes, in the world.
Yeah. We took a helicopter ride, my family and me, maybe 2015. When we got to see it, we all started crying.
Wow.
It's
cool.
It's magical.
That's awesome. Yeah. Is it in the middle of like a tropical forest kind of thing? Okay.
Yeah. To get there, you got to take multiple planes, little planes.
All right, Venezuelan questions. One is, modern Venezuela was one of three countries created in what year following the collapse of Gran Colombia, the short-lived republic created by revolutionary Simón Bolívar? Okay, so modern Venezuela was created, was it 1810, 1830, 1870, or 1910? So 1810, 1830, 1870, 1910.
Your Venezuelan history.
I would say 1810.
1830.
Oh my God!
All right, Tom, is your lifeline on this one.
I don't think I could help with that.
I think you can help.
They're going to take my Venezuelan citizenship away.
You're fine.
My Venezuela citizenship is gone.
How many Miss Universe winners has Venezuela produced?
A lot.
Yes.
4, 5, 6, or 7. You can use Tom as a lifeline.
I'm going to say 7 because
7 is correct.
7 is correct.
John hit me with that when I said 7. Yeah. Venezuela is
beautiful women.
Beautiful women.
All right, here's where we're getting easy. So right now you only have one because, again, I gave you the first.
Okay.
This is where it gets easy. I'm going to mention a player's name. You got to tell me where they were born. Where was Roberto Clemente born?
Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico. Doesn't even need the multiple choice, Tom.
Favorite player ever, I think, for me.
Is that right?
I love him, yeah.
Where was Miguel Cabrera born?
Maracay.
Which is what country?
Venezuela.
Venezuela. Oh, yeah. You are correct. Doesn't need multiple choice. Where was Juan Soto born?
Dominican Republic.
Yep.
Oh, he's on
three
a roll.
3 for 3. Now you get to get the last one. I think you've already qualified.
Yes, yeah.
But if you really want to, we can make it totally legit. Where is Shakira? Tom Burgoyne is a big Shakira fan.
Big fan.
So is she from...
Her hips don't lie.
That's what I love about her.
Is she from Uruguay? Colombia. Doesn't even need it.
Bam.
Boom. See, you qualified anyway. You get the shirt.
Thank you.
Hopefully the shirt will fit.
That's a beautiful...
Backstage,
yeah,
Burgoyne and Brazier.
I love it.
Right? It might be like a European small type shirt.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, it's
beautiful. Beautiful. Thank you, guys.
Wedge himself into that.
Yeah,
Diego,
no,
thanks
you.
For joining us. Listen, a credit to the Phillies, Gabe Kapler, but the Phillies also for letting you evolve into this. You've taken just full advantage of it because you have evolved. I just love how your service to these guys too. You know, you're there when you need them. So just good for you. You've taken advantage of this thing and you're in the big leagues and it's been a heck of a run. You got a lot of years left in you, pal.
Yeah. Thank you very much again for having me. To me, again, all the credit goes to the Phillies for, letting me, be myself with these guys.
And Greg Castriotto for hiring him.
Yeah, really. Right, Greg. Greg Castriotto, saw something in me that not many people did and he gave me a chance and, I will be forever grateful to him because, honestly gave me a chance to be in the big leagues.
Just remember us when you get, you're already big time now because you're getting loud applause in front of 50,000, 46,000 people.
There were 30 guys hired, right? And women, I guess, too, hired in 2016. Diego, you're only one of four who are still left from that original hire, right?
Yeah. So it's
really making the most of your opportunity. It's great, man.
No, it's awesome. To answer your question, to give you an honest answer, about the ovation thing and all that, I give all the credit to the players, to the players that I work with, because if they were not good players, if they were not on TV, people wouldn't see me. So it's when Sanchez and Suarez dominate on the mound, I go on TV. Because they do a good job.
Point. I do have one last question.
That's a good point.
If the star of the game is Latino and needs a translator, that means you're getting hit with a shrapnel.
I was just going to say.
Right? So you're getting hit with a bucket or the gum or the sunflower seeds. What's the worst mixture that you've gotten?
It's just been cold water, during the cold days. Not even, I don't care about the gum, or anything, or Gatorade or whatever. It's incredibly painful is when you feel that water coming down your back and it's like, I don't know.
But aren't you like the
super,
secret,
super cold?
Shouldn't you be like the Secret Service where you dive in front to try to save the guy who's being interviewed and you're going to take the bullet for him?
But honestly, those are the occasions when I get to be on TV, Sosa is the start of a game or, Rojas is the start of a game. Then, because of their good job, because of how well they play, they get to be on TV and I'm standing next to them. So I think that people associate, you know, something positive with me. Yeah. It's like, oh, yeah, that's a guy.
That's
you
it.
Know?
So that's I, did you ever think of translating for the Fanatic?
I would try. That would be a challenge.
He doesn't speak Galapagos.
Yeah.
All right, John. Hey, Diego, thanks again. All right.
No, thank you, guys. It's been a pleasure.
Well, we're gonna come back, right?
Yes.
And we're going to talk. We'll talk a little bit. It's behind the scenes of the playoffs.
Sounds good. Well, having Diego on was awesome, huh, John?
Diego is one of the greatest guys, and you can see how, you know, he was asked to be the translator, and as you just heard right there, that he just seamlessly just goes into all the roles because he gets along with everybody. He's so comfortable to be around.
Yeah.
Obviously, when in that situation where these guys are not in their comfort zone, they're in another foreign country,
yep.
It's not their native language, and they're playing a great sport, but they just... You know, and that's what it is. It's all about comfort zone.
Yeah.
And Diego provides that and more, as you mentioned, you know, away from, you know, helping with birth certificates and anything from marriage certificates to, you know, insurance to anything, buying jet skis. Just he's there for these guys and they're very trusted.
Yeah, he's really taking advantage of the opportunity. And you can tell he's just a good guy.
Great
and
guy.
He's smart and he'll run through a brick wall for you, you know, and he does for these guys, you know.
Yep. And, you know, I know we're going to talk about the playoffs. And now we don't want to talk about the bad part of the playoffs.
Exactly.
But one of the playoffs or one of the great things for us is a lot of the behind the scenes situations. And, you know, obviously I'm on Miles Teller duty or Miles Teller's dad duty.
Was his dad at every playoff game?
His dad was every playoff
game. And then Miles wasn't
at the NLDS because it was his wife's birthday and they went away. But he came back for the NLCS. He was going to be here for the World Series if we advanced. But we also had Ryan Felipe here.
Yep.
We had a lot of the Eagles. That was cool because the Jason Kelce moment with the Fanatic and the other players.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell the audience how that came about?
Well, that was game six in the NLCS. And, of course, Jason made his mark last year.
Right.
And from you reached out to Jason, and I know he was really open to, like, coming back and let's do something again with the Fanatic. It didn't work out, I think, in the series prior. We were, like, wondering, can we hold maybe Jason till the World Series? But the timing wasn't going to work because Monday nights are...
Mondays are perfect for the Eagles because if they're playing on Sunday, that's really their day off.
Yeah.
And that's when he had to have the opportunity to do it.
Yeah, so then we knew because it was the day off, we started getting a lot of requests for other Eagles. We knew Fletcher Cox and Dallas Goedert, Lane Johnson, Julio Jones.
Darius Slay.
Yeah, Slay. So A.J. Brown, we knew a bunch of guys were going to be here. And so I know, John, you and I talked about it. It's like, well, Jason, knowing Jason, he's probably going to be like, well, we got all my buddies here. You know, maybe you bring them all out. So we were kind of ready for that. So we went to him and said, listen, Jason, and we really wanted him to chug a beer, right, John? I mean, you know, it's kind of the lucky chug of the beer. He chugged the beer for us last year and we won in the NLCS. So can't do it on the field because there is a rule
MLB.
That says, you know, MLB does not want alcohol on the field at any point. You know, they're thinking it's after the game and they're celebrating. They don't want the beer and the champagne coming out of the locker room and on the field, but they also don't want it happening in the middle of the game, I guess. So we really wanted to have Jason, you know, slug a beer. So we set up a stage out in Ashburn Alley, and we said, hey, we got the team. Bring all the guys. We got them all overalls. I think most of the guys were wearing the Phillies overalls.
It's funny because first of all, I said to Jason, I said, if you want to bring other guys out there, it'd be great because that's one of the things we had talked about. We want everyone. And he said, yeah. I said, you know, you can do it by yourself, but if you want to bring everybody. And next thing you know, again, there was all these, I think they were in three different suites.
They were.
Some guys were down in the Diamond Club.
Yep.
And he got in touch with everybody, even when he found out some guys were coming that he didn't even know were coming. Then he, you know, gathered. Well, then the overalls. I know Lane Johnson had a pair of overalls, and then we got Fletcher Cox a pair of overalls. And then I know Dallas Goedert wanted to wear a pair of overalls, but I went down to the store, and they were cleaned out.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't find a size for Dallas Goedert. So
we had a special order, some of the ones. We were getting 3XLs,
right?
Is that what they were wearing?
2X. Yeah, I think Jason was a 2XL.
Okay.
Lane, I think, was a 3XL, or Fletcher might have been a 3XL. And then, so I had to get a hoodie for Dallas. And then Julio Jones, I didn't know he was showing up.
I know.
And I met Julio Jones, and then he saw that I gave a jersey to AJ, and then AJ's like, can you get a hat and something else for Julio? Next you know, I'm down in the it was probably a good thing because that's when Arizona was scoring runs, and I was down there busy trying to find sizes for hoodies and hats and this and that. So it was chaos.
It was chaos. And I'm laughing because Julio Jones, he was out there on stage and he was just looking around like he couldn't believe what was going down in Ashburn Alley between the fans, between everybody, you know, surrounding the team, you know, they got the rally towels going. Jason's slamming a beer. I look over at Julio Jones. He's like, well, this is Philly right here, you know. I'm not playing for the Atlanta Falcons anymore. This is Philadelphia, so I just had a laugh. But, hey, thanks to the Eagles having the players. They were great. And also thanks for the Eagles because game one we brought the Philadelphia Eagle cheerleaders.
Yep.
They were out on the field with the Fanatic. That was really cool.
We had some Sixers here. We had Tyrese Maxey was here.
Yeah.
I know Embiid was here. I know Tobias Harris was here.
Well, you know, and here's the thing, John. You know, we also planned for the World Series, and we're not in the World Series. But the hope was, you know, we might have had some, some fun stuff in a World Series.
We had
too,
a lot of fun things planned. We're not going to divulge. We had, obviously, we got to plan.
Because next year.
Right. We got to plan well ahead. And we had, it would have been, I use this word on the radio, it would have been spectacular.
I know.
It would have been talked about in the morning, what I said.
I know.
This one really was. We had one that was lined up for the World Series.
I know. What you're talking about, but we're not going to.
We can't divulge it because we're going to still try it next year.
But just my point is, listen, all the Philadelphia teams really get together. We all support one another. The fans love it, and why not? You know, it's all for one for all mentality, which is great. And, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. We're game two of the NLCS. They joined the Fanatic in some rally towel waving. So we had, Charlie Day and Rob McElhaney and Caitlin Olsen. So, they were really into it, John. Did you see them on the field?
I did. How did the Fanatic like dancing with It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia cast?
There might have been some twerking going on with Caitlin Olsen, actually. There might have been some twerking involved, John.
Okay. Fanatic knows how to do that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Fanatic was a willing participant.
Awesome.
So it was, I know. So, John, I know we had to kind of wrap it up because, you know, we couldn't just have a podcast and avoid the fact that we didn't win that series. But, bring on next year.
I know. I'm already starting to think. I'm in the office today. I've got fantasy camp coming up. I got spring training. We've got the London series.
Hey, announcement this week. The Philadelphia Sports Hall of Fame is celebrating their 20th year. And Carlos Ruiz and our good friend Bill Giles are being inducted into the Philadelphia Sports Hall of Fame on Thursday night. Yeah, which is really cool.
Couldn't happen to two better people.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
The bopper.
So that's Thursday. But I hear you. There's all the things. I know the Fanatics got a pretty aggressive appearance schedule for the fall. We're planning spring training already. We're booking flights. It's, it'll be 3.5 months, John.
I know. Well, just like last year, a quick offseason.
That's how we like it. All right, John, that's it. We're wrapping it up from Citizens Bank Park. We're looking at the ground crew is out there winterizing the field. And thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you next time on Philly's Backstage.
Backstage, we're going to play.